Well, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan will be sworn in for a third term shortly after winning a historic runoff last Sunday. He arrived at Parliament just a short while ago. This inauguration will be followed by a ceremony in the capital, Ankara. Dozens of world leaders, as well as the head of NATO, have been invited. Erdogan took more than 52% of the vote in the second round of the presidential ballot, defeating Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu. Osama bin Javeid is following this for us from Ankara. Osama, talk us through what to expect in the coming hours here.
Well, if you can see on your television screens, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has his motorcade traveled through Ankara to reach the presidential parliament, where he is going to be taking an oath. It is going to be a short ceremony where he is going to go in. He'll be ushered in by the speaker, who is a temporary speaker, who was brought in yesterday as the outgoing speaker was moved out. Until they elect a new speaker, this is going to be the person who is going to administer the oath for President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. He delivers the words of the oath, he waves to the parliament, and then he moves on to a packed day of events happening in Ankara today. He goes to pay homage and respect to Mustafa Kemal Atatürk at his mausoleum. Then he moves back to the presidency, where he has a number of whole hosts of meetings. He also is going to be meeting about 78 different countries' representatives, including nearly three dozen presidents and prime ministers who are here to show support and tell Erdogan that they're with him as he takes power. And notably there is the leader of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, Jens Stoltenberg, as well. We are all going to see President Erdogan taken to this new third decade of power, where he's promised not just reform internally, but a century of Turkey, where he's going to take Turkey into a global role.
Osama, this may be Erdogan's third term, right? But there is also a host of challenges facing him in office, the economy for one.
Absolutely. So it is a myriad of issues that Erdogan is going to face in his third term. It is not just about internal issues inside Turkey. There are regional issues, such as the relationship that Turkey has had with Greece, with neighboring Syria, and with Iraq as well. It has to resolve the issue of the Kurds that Turkey has declared terrorists on its borders between with Iraq and Syria. And then it has the wider issue that it has to deal with in terms of balancing itself as a member of NATO, as well as somebody who has a sympathetic ear in Moscow as well when it comes to the grain deal and other issues such as the Ukraine war. But most importantly, is this issue of how he is going to transform internally the people, the issues being faced by the people of Turkey. And on top of that list, when you go out on the streets, wherever you are in Turkey, people will tell you that they're suffering from inflation. There's not enough dollars in their country. And it's not just people on the street, it's businesses as well.
Of course. And Osama, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of global leaders are present there today. I'm curious about what they view Turkey's foreign policy priorities as being right now.
Well, as I mentioned, that Turkey is now, President Erdogan wants to, in his own words, pivot to Turkey becoming a global front to international policy, not just the global economic order, but global foreign policy as well. He wants Turkey to go into a position where it not just has a position to resolve global crises, but stand in the middle of them. And as an example, people in the AK Party will tell you about what Turkey did for the grain deal, where the global grain economy was going to be jolted even further if there was no grain deal. Although there are still things that need to be ironed out between Russia and Ukraine on that issue. But that is the position that Erdogan wants to take Turkey in. Whether it's global conflicts, whether it's placing Turkey in the heart of where global diplomacy takes place, this is the direction he wants to take it in. And that's why it is going to be very important on the key positions that he chooses, not just inside Turkey as the National Security Advisor, as who takes over the reign of the foreign and treasury ministries, but also the foreign minister as well, because if he wants to implement this vision that he's been telling his people, both internally inside Turkey and also outside, he's going to need a person who's going to be able to implement it.
Well, Osama, as you pointed out as well, Jens Stoltenberg is there today. There's obviously been a lot of controversy about Turkey blocking Sweden's bid to join NATO. Is there likely to be any movement on that in the coming days and weeks, perhaps?
Well, there has been some sort of a softening of stance when it comes to at least Finland, where Turkey allowed Finland's entry into the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It is yet to be seen how Sweden takes this role into NATO, because Turkey has a lot of reservations with which it says that Sweden needs to confront what it calls terrorism. It needs to stop harboring people who are not aligned with the national interests of Turkey. So there is a lot that still needs to be discussed, but there has been indications that Turkey might be moving into the direction. And as this election campaign went forward, we heard from AK Party leaders talking about. And before we go to that, let's take you to back to the parliament where President Erdogan has just taken oath.
My capacity as President of the Republic, I swear that I will safeguard the independence and territorial integrity of the homeland. I will also preserve the will of the people in line with the rule of law, democracy, and the principles of the founder, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, and to provide welfare and prosperity, and to observe human rights and basic freedoms. And I will never falter to preserve the honor of the nation, and I will perform my duties in this office. I swear upon my honor and integrity before the representatives of all the nation.
Well, you've been listening there to Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, taking his oath in parliament there in Ankara. This is his third term in office after winning a presidential runoff last Sunday. Let's go back to our correspondent, Osama bin Javed, who's also watching proceedings for us in the Turkish capital. There we can hear the applause there in parliament, Osama. But he is taking office over a very divided nation. Nearly half the country didn't vote for him in the presidential runoff. How is he likely to try to bring everyone together?
Well, absolutely. Though, as you saw, that history in the making, the third term for President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, his third decade into power. And as he enters this term, he is going to have to lead a divided Turkey. Yes, he has won 52% of the presidential vote. Yes, he has 323 seats in the parliament out of the 600 members. But that means that 48% of Turkey didn't vote for him. In this campaign, it was a very divisive campaign where the whole opposition, it was not just CHP and the left, it was the whole, everybody came together to try and defeat him. And that is why the first thing that he is going to have to do is to try and heal a divided nation. As you heard, that he's paid homage to Mustafa Kemal Atatürk. He's people on the left have been criticizing President Recep Tayyip Erdogan to going away from the founder's vision of the republic, taking it towards a presidential system rather than the parliamentary system, taking it more towards an Islamic style of governance rather than a liberal or an open style of governance. And so there have been a lot of differences leading up to where Erdogan finds himself now. And that is why the biggest challenge that he's going to face, yes, he's going to have to fix the economy, but then he's going to have to take measures, especially when it comes to minorities, when it comes to the Kurdish population, when it comes to the issues of various sections of society who've been fighting for rights. That is how Erdogan, in this first few months, is going to, and we're going to see the steps that he takes to try and bring people together to remove this divide, as for the next 5 years, he is going to be the leader of this nation and his party is going to run it.
Well, you say, Osama, he'll be leader of the country for the next 5 years, but there are also municipal elections, I believe, in just 10 months. That will be a political test for how much he's managed to unite the country then, too.
Absolutely. So the municipal election, and it's going to be very closely monitored, especially that very important election in Istanbul, Turkey's most populated city, where there have been a seismic shift in the last few years, where you've seen the majority that Erdogan enjoyed in Istanbul move away from that city to his opposition partners. And he is going to have to bring people together towards his calling. And as we saw in his opening speech as well, rather than doing it in a ceremony, rather than doing it from his party headquarters, he did it from a party bus, which many people interpreted as, in the next 10 months, you're not going to see an Erdogan who is going to come off of the campaign and start delivering on promises, but it's going to be a mix of not just an Erdogan who's going to have to rebuild his country according to the promises that he's made, but also an Erdogan who's going to stay on the campaign trail to try and win back all of the municipalities that he has lost, and most importantly, among them, the city of Istanbul.
Osama Bin Javeid there, following all those events for us in the Turkish capital, Ankara. For now, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Osama. Let's bring in Ahmet Ünsal. He's a professor of political sociology and also the director of Middle Eastern Studies at the Middle Eastern Studies Center, in Ankara. He joins us now from the Turkish capital. Ahmet, just picking up there on what Osama and I were discussing, obviously a huge part of the country did vote for the opposition in the runoff. Does Erdogan have a strategy to win them over?
Yes, he already won the hearts and minds despite the difficulties of earthquake, corona, war on Ukraine and all these and economy. But he proved that he convinced people, Turkish people, that he is the solution. And even very obvious in the earthquake areas, of course, there are many sufferings, but he presented himself as the solution rather than, you know, whose fault was it, more fault on which side and stuff. At the end, he maintains the credibility and the mission to accomplish this. And this is a new Turkey. He has a vision. I think he'll come up with a young and dynamic mix of with the also experience of 20 years. And it's going to be a new Turkey. And he has the credit. People voted for him. Of course, there are challenges to unite and to become everybody's president. But this is, I mean, of course, before the election, we see a polarization in Turkish society. But it's not only his fault. Opposition also preferred polarization, try to gather or mobilize everybody against Erdogan, and they failed. And of course, this is the duty of everybody, not only Erdogan's. And today, I mean, many world leaders are attending the inauguration ceremony, and opposition leader is missing from this opposition. I mean, from this inauguration, which is not a good sign for the opposition, because they should be conceding the outcome of this election. And but it doesn't matter as much now. I mean, people were waiting for this time. I mean, Turkey was in the election mode for a long time, almost like a year. Mm-hmm. Many things got frozen in the meantime, and now it's gonna accelerate the economy, foreign policy, and many files waiting inside and outside.
So Ahmed, you mentioned... Sorry, Ahmed, you mentioned people suffering earlier. And I know that President Erdogan has already said that inflation, which I believe hit 85% last year, is his priority. Do you foresee big changes in economic policy, especially also given the cost of living crisis that the country is facing?
Yeah, he managed to, I mean, he has to make a choice to depend on financial playing with the lira and, you know, making it strong, or to keep the economic wheel running. So he chose to run the wheel and to maintain it running, and it worked to a certain degree. Of course, there is inflation, there is some hardships, and he tried to compensate it with rising or raising salaries and other fees or other revenues. Now we have the still working economy. You know, yesterday only announced the May exports were like record numbers. Very, very high, very promising also for the economy. Tourism is strong, I mean, industry, and agriculture is also strong. And I think he has a chance to continue on this line, but he has to assure also the global economy, maybe bring some of the experienced people from the past governments, past cabinets, like Mehmet Şimşek is talk about a lot. And I think he has the team. I mean, he has many people that he can use, and especially the foreign investors, they were waiting for this election. Even in, I mean, domestic investors also, they were waiting for this election to see who is going to run the country, what type of economy, and all these questions. Now the picture is clear, and they can invest. And now the economy is focused not on the financial maybe maneuvering, but on production. And this is, I think, going to succeed in the end, because it's a solid economy, not with the numbers and stuff.
Okay, so Ahmed, you're convinced that he can right the ship. Let me ask you about another issue that was obviously a big issue for many voters in the election. There are still 3.7 million Syrian refugees, I believe, currently in Turkey. Do we yet have a sense of how that might be addressed under Erdogan's new government?
Yes. There is a kind of maybe national mood, tendency or nationalist tendency. And some of them are related to the national pride and having Bayraktar or national automobile and other productions. And some of it also with the refugees that are not only Syrians, and Turkey is a kind of a pathway for other refugees to pass to Europe, and Afghanis, Pakistanis, even Africans come and try to use Turkey to pass to Europe, to Greece, to Italy and other countries. And of course we will have this problem, but I mean, opposition, of course, they couldn't challenge Erdogan on big issues, and now they found, especially during the election, they found the issue of refugees as a kind of fear-mongering against foreigners or against refugees, etc. But I don't see refugees as a big problem. Turkish economy can absorb them, and they're already, you know, almost like 10 years now, they are part of the economy. They are not, most of them are not living in camps like as it is in Lebanon or in Jordan. And I think it's not a major problem, but it is over, you know, it is exaggerated a little bit. It is also natural, I see, you know, politicians try to use everything. But I think after the election, this issue will calm down, will not be as a major problem. And Erdogan also promised after the victory, and during the victory speech, that he will try to, I mean, make Syria, especially northern Syria, safer and also economically attractive for them, in order for them to return to their homes. And
Ahmed,
this process will be going forward, yes.
Sure. Ahmed, you talk about elections as if they're over, and obviously the presidential election is over, but there are municipal elections, as Osama and I were just discussing, in just 10 months. And back in 2019, yes, Erdogan's AK Party lost major cities, Istanbul, Ankara. I mean, trying to recapture those will be a bit of a political test. How do you rate his chances at this stage?
I think he has a chance, and people were talking about, you know, Erdogan maybe losing the parliament and maybe winning the presidency. And he now, with his maneuvers, also with the failure of the opposition, he managed to win also the parliament. which is also a good sign for the stability and the consistency between the parliament and the government and the execution. And this way, the municipal, of course, big cities are a big challenge because they are the most hit by the economic hardships, like rent prices go up, house prices, also inflation also hit hard the working class with the, you know, minimum wages and stuff. And of course, it's a challenge, but he's close to do anything. And the coalition also built kind of a coalition of impossible, you know, build, you know, 10, almost like 10 different parties and fractions and also movements, you know, they try to bring everybody together. This was almost like impossible, especially this is going to be very hard after the failure in this election. The momentum, I think, to unite all against Erdogan is going to be more difficult for them. And there are now controversies within the, opposition parties. Some blame the Kılıçdaroğlu, some blame the small minor parties that he gave a lot of seats in the parliament. So there is kind of a debate going on and maybe a controversy going on in the opposition camp. We'll see if they can manage to carry this momentum, which doesn't have. Erdogan has the momentum right now, and the coalition building against him is going to be more difficult next time in nine months.
Very interesting time in Turkish politics indeed. Ahmet Ünsal there, a professor of political sociology and also director of the Middle Eastern Studies Center in Ankara. Thank you for joining us on Al Jazeera, sir, and for sharing your thoughts with us.
Thank you.